Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. Well, 2020 has been a dreadful year, but two friends who also happen to be Wake County high school teachers are doing something to change that. Tamara Barrett is black and Carla Tuttle is white, and together they've launched an effort to tackle the plagues of racial injustice and inequality. They call it Change the Head, Change the Heart. The project was inspired in part by Barrett's fears for the well-being of her children in a state and nation in which black people, especially young black men and boys, continue to die as a result of law enforcement misconduct. That, together with Tuttle's midlife recognition that, despite her best intentions, she, like most white Americans, continued to act and speak in ways that were insensitive and oblivious when it came to race, helped lead the friends to take action. Recently, I got a chance to chat with Barrett and Tuttle about their inspiring project.
Well, Carla Tuttle and Tamara Barrett, welcome to News and Views. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having us today. Yes, thank you.
Let me begin with Carla. Carla, talk to us about this whole effort of Change the Head, Change the Heart. It's a very ambitious effort that you all have launched here to combat systemic racism in our society, coming at it from the perspective of high school English teachers. How the whole thing gets started, and talk to us about how things are going, where it stands now.
This idea has been brewing for quite a while with Tamara and me. We have known each other almost 15 years and have been friends. And just over the years, we have been very honest with each other, talking about concerns that we have. But I would say maybe our deep conversations about racism started in 2016, and Tamara made a post on social media. She was pregnant with her son at the time, and that was the summer where we had numerous murders of unarmed black men, and that covered the news. And I feel like there were three or four right there in a row, just in a span of a few days. And she talked about how she was fearful for her unborn son and what life was going to be like growing up. And so that really spoke to me. And it's like a light bulb went off in my head where I had never realized systemic racism before. That was a term that I was unfamiliar with. And I didn't notice it in society because it didn't affect me. But we've been talking about that over the years. And back in May, after the murder of Ahmaud Arbery and George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, we just decided that we wanted to do something concrete. And so Tamara suggested that we start a social initiative, and she's the one who came up with the name for it.
Tamara, could you talk to us about your perspective on how this thing gets started and perhaps your friendship with Carla?
So Carla and I have been pretty much of a collective mind for quite a while. But it wasn't until, because I have two daughters, it wasn't until I was pregnant with a boy that a lot of this stuff started really resonating with me. Trayvon Martin, Tamir Rice, just the loss of those young lives and the fact that I was carrying my first son and I should have been filled with nothing but joy, but yet fear and anger were the emotions that I was experiencing. And I really didn't know what to do, so I just pretty much pinned this post on Facebook because that was all I could do to just get my emotions out. And I was very angry in 2016. Not that I wasn't angry in 2020. My emotions were just different, and I was tired of being angry, and I was ready to act. And Carla and I had been talking about it, like she said, for quite a while. And we just knew that we couldn't talk about it anymore. We needed to do something different. We needed to get moving, changing heads and changing hearts.
You know, Tamara, I have talked over the years to multiple friends and acquaintances who are people of color, typically African-American in North Carolina, who've told me that when their children get to a certain age, they have to have a talk with them about the reality of that they will confront, unfortunately, tragically, in our society still at this point, about how they will interact with law enforcement and how it's, frankly, a different situation, a much more challenging and dangerous situation for young men and women of color. Is that something you've thought about or had to wrestle with?
It's something that I think about daily. I have a nephew who is 16. I have a brother who is 40. My husband, who is 49. I think about it every time one of them leaves the home, and I pray that they return without incident. So it's a very real issue, and I know that in 2016, I could not separate my emotions from my rational mind because the blood was real of Alton Sterling and Philando Castile. It was real. And I just came to a point where I said, you know what, Tamara, anger is not getting us anywhere. We've got to really let people know what's happening, how we feel, and that we are real people. And so I think that talking to Carla and Carla having these conversations with other people are making people see Black people as real people, our issues as real people. So I think that's basically what I see when I think about the police and all the things that we have to face.
Talk to us about this website, changethehead.org. How did that come about, and what's the goal? What do you have specific objectives in mind in terms of beginning to transform hearts and minds in our society?
Mm-hmm, we do. So when we came up with the idea for this initiative, we sat down and we wrote kind of like a mission statement. And so we want to educate others about systemic racism. We want to bring about positive change, affect positive change within our community, and we want to encourage personal and social responsibility. And so we have several platforms that we have online just to try to reach people. One is a Facebook page, one is Instagram, and then we have our website. And so that's just a collection of our story, materials or resources that people can find if they want to learn more about systemic injustice. It includes information about some of the live discussions that we have every few weeks on Facebook. It also has information about a recent fundraiser that we did. So for our first initiative, we decided that we wanted to do a fundraiser for North Carolina Justice Center because one of the best ways to bring about change in society is to have policy change. And I've worked with someone at the NC Justice Center for several years now, and I know what great work they do. And so we decided to have a virtual run and donate our proceeds to the Justice Center. And that was very successful. We raised over $3,500. So moving forward, we have some other ideas that we want to focus on for the month of December. We want to talk about why social justice is important during the holidays. Moving into the new year, we want to offer the book Cast, which is just recently was published by Isabel Wilkerson, mm-hmm. and offer a giveaway for that and then have a book discussion. We've talked about having an event for the spring where we show an educational film outdoors and maybe offer a food truck rodeo where we could give away some information. So these are just some ideas that we have, but we want to do things that will get the community involved, get them to see what's going on around them that they might not have been aware of so that they can advocate for social justice.
I wonder if I could ask you both a question. We sort of alluded to it off air before we got going here. It's a difficult subject for a lot of white Americans to grapple with. And when they hear terms like systemic racism, they tend to bristle. And a lot of them react and say, I'm not a racist, I'm colorblind, I'm not prejudiced against anyone. And I think there's almost a sense amongst many people that when we use terms like that, that we're asking them to sacrifice, we're asking them to give up some sort of benefit that they have and to make changes in their lives that will make them negatively impacted. And I don't sense that that's what being an anti-racist is about. It's about something a little more expansive than that. I wonder if either one of you, maybe Tamara, can you have any thoughts about that? Or maybe I'm not characterizing it correctly.
No, I think you are. I think that it's really about love. We truly have to stop seeing this as a sacrifice of some way that they're having to live their lives, that they're having to give up something so others can gain. Actually, it's embracing love and recognizing that this is a human thing and not a Black-white thing. we are all the same. And we really want to live our lives the same way white people live their lives. I don't want my son ever to have to be afraid when a police officer comes in his vicinity as to whether or not he'll walk away safely. That's completely ridiculous and unacceptable. And as Americans, no one should ever have that fear. So if they can just step outside themselves, be empathetic, and just show love, embrace love, I think that coming from that way will change. We'll see the change we need to see.
We're talking with Carla Tuttle and Tamara Barrett, who are both Wake County high school teachers, about this effort that they have launched entitled Change the Head, Change the Heart, which is about combating systemic racism in our state and in our country. I wonder if y'all, in the limited time we have, I wonder if each of you could perhaps relate to your experiences as educators, if you've had experiences teaching in which these kinds of issues have arisen, in which perhaps you've had a revelation about the way perhaps you were teaching or the way your students were perceiving these issues, and whether you have any optimism that maybe the young people today are starting to get some of this stuff.
This is my 27th year teaching, and in that time, I have had an epiphany in what I teach in my classroom and the way that I teach it. And just to be perfectly honest, there were lots of comments that I have made in the past that were insensitive and inappropriate, and I truly did not see myself as making racist comments or being a racist individual. But in doing research that I've done over the years and talking with Tamara and talking with other people, I have come to the realization that many comments that I've made in the past have been insensitive just because I did not know any better. And certainly not that I know everything now, but I'm much more educated than I was. And I think that's the key. I think that's why we want to focus on education so much, because I think most people deep down want to do the right thing. And I think that's why they bristle at the word racism or the word racist, because they don't see themselves that way. That is such an evil thing in their mind. And because they don't see themselves as evil, of course they cannot be racist. So in talking with students, in talking with individuals, I don't like to say that someone is a racist unless they embrace that. But I like to say that we can do racist things, we can make racist comments and not have the intention of being racist, but it still has that hurtful outcome. And so when I talk about these issues with my students, I always try to be very honest with them and share with them some of my personal experiences and eye-opening moments. And I also acknowledge that there are things that we just haven't been taught in the past that once we know better, then we can do better. And it's a matter of just looking at systems in society that really are still unfair in 2020 to individuals who are not white, and just educating them and giving them factual, objective articles that talk about the harmful effects of this systemic racism. And they are receptive to that because they, again, are horrified that anyone would be mistreated, because they do want to be fair and kind to others.
Tamara, I heard you sort of audibly nodding in assent. I wonder if you might share a few last words for us as we conclude our conversation.
As a teacher, I pretty much just think that it's very important to accept every student as they are when they come through my door. And or the square on my screen this year. just knowing that I see who they are and they can share their experience and be heard. And I make it my goal to make sure that every student understands that their perspective matters and that their experience matters. As a teacher, it's my job to just help them navigate these different perspectives and understand that not everybody has the same experiences, and that we need to recognize the different voices that make up this class, that make up our school, that make up our county, our state, and our country. And they all have value.
Well, gosh, it's such important work. It's so inspiring. It's been a delight to talk to you both. We congratulate you on it. We wish you all the best going forward. Again, the website is changetheheadchangetheheart.org. Check it out. They'll look for your participation, for, I'm sure, your contributions, your suggestions. It's an important discussion. It's going to take a long time for our country to get there, but we're so glad to have this sort of grassroots effort going on in our community. Thank you both for your work.
Thank you so much.
Up next, now that the coronavirus vaccine is arriving, we'll hear from Duke University public health experts about how we overcome public skepticism about receiving it. Stay with us.